How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. I'm here at the crack of dawn on a Saturday to accommodate Liam's schedule so that we can chat about Port Adelaide. Liam, are you as half asleep as I am today?
No, because I am an early bird. This is well past my wake-up time. I am ready and raring to go to talk about Port Adelaide.
Yes, well, as a sleepy bird, I'm excited that Port Adelaide is a very unusual club. There's so many strengths for them for fantasy, and there's so many weaknesses for them for fantasy. And we're going to talk about how all those combine together with their interesting game plan and make for some interesting picks. But why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so Port Adelaide were a big surprise last year, kind of came from nowhere, hadn't been a particularly successful team, went on a huge win streak to end the regular season, finishing sixth, and then managed to win two finals where they were the underdog both times. So they beat Richmond at home in the 6v7 final and then made it to a semi and pulled out the most improbable final quarter comeback against Hawthorn. It's no surprise that it's not Jono on today's episode. Port Adelaide are a bit of a sore spot for him. But the thing that I need to get across to listeners is they are a complete anomaly statistically. So they are 18th for disposals. They are first for kick percentage. They are 18th for handballs, 18th for disposal efficiency, disposals per turnover, intercept possessions conceded, disposals per opposition tackle, and 18th for marks. The thing with the marks point, though, if you look at the number of marks they take, which is 25.9, the gap between them and 17th, which is Carlton, which is just over 8, is the same gap between Carlton at 17th and North Melbourne at 7th in the league. That is ridiculous. That is, and then also if you look at their meters gained per disposal, which just says that they love to kick the ball long, they averaged 18.6 meters per disposal. The next highest is 16.7. That gap to second is the same gap between second and 12th. They absolutely blow everything out of the water in the way that they play. They are completely unique. They look to go for contested disposals and then surge, long kick down the line. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not do anything else. Just get the ball forward at all costs.
Yeah, so the stats really tell it all. And I kind of had a read of these and I was like, what am I actually making out of this? And I've put some downsides and benefits. Downsides is that they've got a low overall number of disposals. So not great if you want the disposal fantasy points. Good news though, when they do dispose it, they kick it. So you get the upside there. Bad news though, is that there's no key star. So it's all kind of distributed amongst the players. So it's hard to know who's going to pick. Good news, they've got a really young list. So someone's going to break out. There's going to be a share of those points going to at least one person. And then also we saw them surge to the final. So the team's going to be improving this year. The share of fantasy points are going to be improving this year. It's just who does it go to? They've got a really tough fixture because they finished last. So that's bad for the first few rounds of fantasy points. But then they've got so many injured players. So there's so much opportunity. It's like, I don't know where we're landing with this. Sorry, I know you're the analyst today, but I was like, I have to share my confusion.
No, and it's 100% true. Like, yes, they do kick the ball a lot, good for fantasy points, but also they have only ever had one player once average over 80. They had the lowest first and second combined highest scorers fantasy average last year by a large, large, large margin. They are...
Well, they also had the lowest highest fantasy scorer, and Abby Darrick is the team's highest fantasy scorer, and she's the 18th. Like, Port have the lowest highest. So it's just, yeah, it's an interesting
one. And I wouldn't be expecting a change because of the fact that they made finals. So it's not like there's a big push and drive to change it. It's just going to be maybe some subtle differences and a bit of reshuffling because they have had some fairly large ins and outs. So Ange Foley, Maddie Carrick, Hannah Dunn, Liv Levicki, all not playing and have retired or been delisted. And then In terms of the players that they've brought in, I think the most notable and the most well-known name is Ella Heads, who's come across from Sydney. Mm-hmm. So they lose Ange Folau, who was one of their two key distributors off halfback last year, and then they gain Ella Heads, who played a very, very similar role at Sydney. The one player that they're probably going to have to look to try and replace from their list internally is Liv Levicki, who came in and played a fairly important role for them as the deepest marking target, and then rotating onto the bench and then also chopping out Matilda Schultz in the ruck. So there is going to be a little bit of a reshuffling in that team. They're also regaining Lauren Young and Indi Taho, both of whom were injured with ACLs last year. Now, Indi Taho looks like she will be back to play round one, whereas Lauren Young might be 4 to 6 weeks into the season, which is devastating because if we were doing this episode and she'd been fully healthy, the number one pick for this episode would have been an absolute slam dunk.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we were so hyped up about Lauren Young at the start of the preseason, started recording our content ahead of time, of course, because we have to. And then we got the news and we're like, damn it, we've mentioned Lauren Young so many times already. So yes, confirming she is not playing. But also just another injury that we've had in the preseason. Caitlin Wendland has done her ACL and will be inactive. She was someone that I at least had in my fantasy side last year, as well as probably quite a few other people. So yeah, the ins and outs really breed opportunity.
Just throw to the interview
so,
now.
Speaking of opportunity, where should we start with the most relevant fantasy picks?
We should probably start with the interview.
To hear more about some of the most interesting player movements and how Port Adelaide are shaping up for this season, Will had a sit down with Ash Woodland earlier this preseason.
G'day everyone, and welcome to another fantastic interview. We've got Port Power star Ash Woodland with us today. Ash, how are you going?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having me.
No worries. Thank you so much for coming on. Last season was a really exciting one for Port Adelaide. You went from one or two wins in the previous two seasons to making a prelim final. That must have been really exciting for the playing group.
Yeah, it was really good last season. I think we just all had a lot of fun and we started off pretty slow, but then we found our feet around round four, I think. And then, we had a winning streak. So it was, really good confidence boost for us girls. And gives us that confidence that we know we can do it. We train it all off season and pre-season, but for it to come off in games, it was really exciting.
Yeah, for sure. And I think something that we here at Free Kick are really interested in is the way that Port Adelaide sort of went about their footy last year. It was quite a unique game style because you were, I think, the highest kicking team in the league, but also the lowest marking team because you were basically just trying for territory. I guess my question for you is that sort of real territory focus something that's continued into this off season? Is that something we can sort of expect to continue to see, or have there, without giving too much away, been any exciting new developments?
Yeah, last year we surged the ball quite a bit, so we really trust our forwards in the forward 50, and we're pretty good at winning the one-on-one contest. So if we could surge it forward and get territory and press the game, then absolutely we'd do it. We'll continue this year to build on what we did last year. So last year, obviously, some games we played really well and it worked, and then some games it didn't. So I think we're not changing a whole heap, but I think building on what we did really well, and then obviously focusing on also what didn't come off and what didn't do well. So, a little bit of change. Not going to tell you too much, but definitely building on last year.
Now, of course, makes a lot of sense. And you sort of say as you're building up the game plan, and Coach Lauren O'Neill is, of course, a really big part of that, just being the coach since the beginning. And I guess it must be fantastic to have, I guess, a coach that you, in fact, played against. You played against her in her last game, which unfortunately was the losing grand final. But it must be fantastic to have a...
Remind me about that one.
Yeah, I thought I might try and steer clear, but kind of walked into it.
Yeah.
It must be so great to work alongside, I guess, a former star and someone who knows exactly what you're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. So Loz played AFLW 2 and she captained Carlton in the first few years. So she has a lot of knowledge behind her and we really trust her in the game plan. So, just building on that last year, and our line coaches as well have been amazing. So, I think, yeah, reminded me of the grand final that I lost against her. And I think, yeah, she mentions it a few times, but nah, she's a really good coach. And yeah, we all have trust in her.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. And it's kind of hard to talk about Port Adelaide without that strong Adelaide connection. Of course, we've now got Justine Mills Robinson, who's now just been announced as the captain of the day. That must have been very exciting.
Oh, it's amazing. I love Juzzy, and she's just a natural leader. And I think she's just taken on the role last year as well. She stepped up seamlessly with JC obviously having those injuries. But, yeah, I think everyone just looks up to Juzzy and naturally follows her. I think she's the kindest person, and she knows how to get you up and about as well. So I think it's a great new role for her, and yeah, I'm really excited.
I think another former captain and a great of your club is obviously Erin Phillips, who recently was put into the Hall of Fame. It must have been strange, I guess, last year not playing alongside her for the first time, really. And I suppose, how was that leadership void filled, I guess?
I think everyone just stood up as soon as Erin left. Erin was a great leader, and I was lucky enough to play alongside her for a few years, and I learned a lot from her. She's an elite athlete, and she has been for a long time. So learning those qualities from her was amazing. But I think as soon as she was retired, I think a lot of people stepped up, which was really good for the club. We have a young group, so to have everyone stand up and balance out the team, I think was really good for us last year.
I think it's almost a little bit funny that all you needed to make a prelim was just to, you know, get rid of the best player to play the game. That's
I don't think it happened like that, but
for sure. You've got plenty of your former Adelaide teammates, as we've said, bring plenty of experience, and you've also got brought in Kirsty Lamb last year to help out what is quite a young midfield group. How much was her influence felt last year, especially helping out young stars like Sinead Goody and Abby Darrick?
Yeah, I think Lammy brings a lot of experience. She just understands football so well, and I think she does the little things really well, and the one percenters, the blocks, teaching the leading lanes in the forward line. She's mainly a mid, but when she comes down forward, she's always looking to block for a tall. So, just really knowledgeable in that area of the game and just being able to pass it on to the younger ones. I think, yeah, she's really come in and shown why, yeah, she's a great leader, and yeah, she's been amazing for this group.
Yeah, fantastic. And you must love the leading lanes that she produces. The Power does have a really strong forward line with Gemma Houghton up there and Julie Teagle, who had a real breakout year last year. So that must have been a really enjoyable thing for you.
Yeah, we've got a really good forward line. I love our forward line. It's a good group. So Gemma has a lot of speed, and when you know Gemma's got the ball, she's looking for goals, and most of the time she kicks them. So, and Julia Teagle, she's stepped up amazingly. She doesn't miss a set shot. We call her Deadeye. So
nice.
Deadeye Julia. So we know when she's got the ball that it's in good hands.
Fantastic. And I suppose, speaking of the forward line, there's a young talent that we really didn't get to see last year in Lauren Young, who many were really excited to see. Unfortunately, had the injury, missed the year. How's she shaping up, and are you looking forward to lining up alongside her in the forward line in the near future?
Yeah, absolutely. Lauren Young's a gun, and most of SA know that as well. So we're really excited to see her play. She's doing really well with her rehab. So she obviously had that ACL last year. So she's ticking all the boxes, and she's looking really good on the sidelines. So, yeah, I can't wait to play alongside her.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And I guess young talent really is a bit of a trademark at the Power. Last year, Matilda Scholes absolutely starred, won the Rising Star, club best and fairest. It must be fantastic playing against such an exciting player like her as well.
Yeah, she's someone that you don't want to go up against at training even. She's amazing. Her contested mark is taken to another level this year, so can't wait for another mark of the year from Tilts. She's just building on her game. She's honestly gotten so much better already, and, yeah, we haven't even started playing yet, so can't wait to see her this season.
You've jumped in with what I was going to say next, which is she did take an all-time hanger to win that mark of the year. I guess it sounds like we can expect to see a few more of those, but has she figured out what to do with those frequent fly points yet?
I think she's planned to go overseas next year. I reckon it's maybe Africa or something she's been talking about.
Oh, very nice.
Like that. So I think she's, yeah, going to take her partner and hopefully take the whole team too. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Very nice. Well, she'll just have to win a second one to add the frequent fly points to get you all over there.
Absolutely. Share it around.
Share it around for sure. I guess finally, I just wanted to ask you a bit about your defense. We know how good your offensive power was last year, but I guess the defense was a major improvement last season. You've also managed to add a really talented player in Ella Heads in the offseason. Can you give us a bit of insight into what Ella's added to the defensive group?
Yeah, Ella's a really good athlete. She's come in and she's taken the defense to a new level. So a lot of runoff half back. She's very fast, can't keep up with her. But, yeah, I think her control with the ball and understanding the game and what time it's in as well will definitely help our defence. And, yeah, I think she's going to be very good this year.
Sounds fantastic. We'll probably just leave it there. But the one question we do love to finish on is who's tearing up the track this preseason? Who looks set for a really, really big year in 2025?
I'll name a few because I can't name one. Matilda Scholes. We'll go with a defender. I'll go with Ella Heads, and I'll go with a forward. Let's go with Justine Mules. So I think those three will have a really good season, and they are looking very fit.
Very, very good. Well, thank you very much for all your insight into everything Port LA Power, Ash Woodland. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Great chat there with Ash Woodland, and we should note, Ash Woodland is her maiden name. If you're looking to pick Ash Woodland in the fantasy game, she's listed under Ash Saint. So a bit of confusion there. We're probably referring to her as a bit of both. But what did you take away from that chat with Ash Woodland?
That surge mentality is not going to change. Mm. It's just not going to be any different. And that's, you know, power to them, power to them and Los Arnell. I am alarmed by the prospects of maybe some unpredictable fantasy scoring. But, you know, if what works, works, and the actual coaches don't need to care about fantasy points, so power to them.
That's fair. And it sounds like yes, I did get that. It does sound like it will be refined, though. So I'm hoping that, like, we know what's coming at least. We know what's coming and we can kind of expect where it's going to have dividends. The other one to note is we love hearing that Schultz and Heads were named as two of the three players to watch. She hasn't really followed the guidelines there, which is pick one player, but also Justine Mules getting a mention. So, maybe that can lead us into your first fantasy pick.
Yes, it is Matilda Schultz, someone who, you know, really has shown themselves to be a league star, even for a player so young, winning Rising Star last year, priced at 934K. Which is about at her 72 average from last year. I think the reason why I like her is A, no more Olivia Levicki there. There isn't really a dedicated backup ruck on that list. You know, we've seen Ash Woodland Saint play a role in that respect every now and then. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a Julia Teagle is doing that a little bit as well this year, Gemma Houghton. But I think the fact that there isn't another, like, you know, dedicated ruck who will take center bounces will be an advantage for Schultzy. She also started the season last year a little bit slowly. We're not entirely sure why, but she finished with an average of 78 in her last five games. And I think that scoring trajectory is really positive. I do think that she has another level to go to. She is exceptional at stoppages. I think that her ability to win the ball below her feet, take marks, still be looked for the, you know, three handballs that happen a game for Port Adelaide is a good sign. And I think that it's, if you're not going to pay up for Mim Strom, I think that Ali Morfitt and Matilda Schultz sit in a very similar bracket of young ruck who really does dominate at stoppage and could generate a lot of fantasy points from them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she is the second or third highest priced ruck, but that's for a good reason. She's got like that great aerial ability. We saw her take Mark of the Year as well. Amazing photo coming from that if you haven't seen it. But her contested possession skills are elite. And if Port are doing more of the same, we can't help think that that's going to be good for her opportunity, getting the ball in her hand. And I mean, like, of the marks points I know there are, you know, they're sitting 18th for marks, but I believe Matilda Schultz takes a chunk of them.
I think you're correct. I obviously came well prepared for this. So she's fourth overall in scoring for rucks last year. But if we look at marks, she finished, okay, maybe not as high as we would have liked. Inside the top 20 for marks.
Okay.
For rucks overall.
Yeah,
but fair. If we look at Port Adelaide in total, just listen to me using the beautiful website that is Wheelo. If you are looking to do your stats analysis,
yep,
and all of the
on
stats,
the
team stats, they're all from absolutely on the fly. Wheelo is an absolute godsend. I always knew Port Adelaide weird, but once we got the team stats from him last year, I was like, oh, now I know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
Matilda
now
Schultz
really prove it
you
out.
Know, had 1.2 per game. The highest was Sinead Goody with 3 a game. And then the next highest player who played most of the games was Ella Bogue at 1.7. So,
yeah, so
has
there.
A share of the marks. It's close enough for me. I do think, though, that and another reason that probably we haven't talked about enough is the rule changes that we're going to see in the ruck line. We're going to see less waiting for the ball to be thrown up and waiting for rucks to nominate. And so I think that the more mobile rucks will be in a better position to be able to make it from stoppage to stoppage and really impact. So a younger ruck like Schultzy, I do believe, will benefit from that more so than some of the rucks who are kind of later on in their careers.
Yep. I do think she's an interesting pick for a player, though, because she both has that consistency. Like, even though she is coming into her third season now, her first two seasons she had personal development, obviously, but her fantasy scoring was quite consistent over like the whole season as an average. And so I think she's got that value and headroom, but she also has a decent consistency that you can pick in and like kind of know what you're going to get from her. So yeah, I think she's a very solid first pick. Then we move into something a little bit more.
In terms of things unknown, we don't really know what we're going to get from them, and that's Ella Heads. And I've thrown in Molly Brooksby at number 3. So
yep,
these are two halfbacks and the two players that I expect to be the predominant ball users off halfback for Port Adelaide this year. I'm going to set aside the ridiculous statistical profile for Port Adelaide and just say that Ella Heads was down in 2024 on what we'd seen from her in 2023. She got dropped. She got thrown up the wing. Well, she got soft drop, sorry, but she was taken away from her predominant ball use role. I think there is absolutely a position for her to take with the retirement of Ange Foley across the half back line and probably be splitting the kick-ins with Molly Brooksby, who was a rookie last year, averaged 46, so priced at 599K. But another player where I do like their ball use, I like their kicking. I think they're very calm and collected. My question is, are they going to kind of cut across each other? You know, Ella Head's 60 average is probably down on what we expect from her, but is she going to be able to do much better than that in a team that doesn't prioritize marks from behind center or value much kicking that isn't directly straight down the ground?
Yeah, these two are interesting because if you take the whole Ella Head situation out of it for a moment, Ange Foley and Molly Brooksby last season. Molly Brooksby was the first for rebound 50s, averaging 5.5, and the first for kick-ins, averaging 48 over the season. Then Ange Foley is sitting a close second. So 4.7 average rebound 50s, 43 kick-ins. And so out of those two, without the Ella Head situation, I'm like, oh, Molly Brooksby looks like a great pick. There's like room to grow. Ange Foley's not here anymore. Even more kind of step up, kind of doing more of the same. But then when you add Ella Heads in the equation, it's like, where is that Ange Foley share going to go? Because it could either go to the, you know, developing younger player in Brooksby that's stepping up a role, or it could go to the known head that they've traded in for a reason. Oh, known head, Ella Heads. Ha, ha, ha. It's hard to say, but I think Brooksby's probably, if I'm picking one of these two players saying, where's the fantasy potential from Ange Foley's retirement going to go? I kind of like Brooksby better because she's 180K cheaper. Her ceiling, both of their ceilings are like 40 points above what they're priced at now. But coming in at a lower price for Brooksby just gives her more potential to rise there with less risk of the price.
It, like, absolutely, but I would say a lower floor too. I think that by virtue of being a younger player, I think that the addition of Heads as a free agent too probably gives her a little bit of a boost. And, you know, we've seen an okay ceiling from Brooksby. You know, she had a 67 in the finals, which is well above their price at, and also had a 72 against Richmond in round five, in week five last year, which I believe were actually a tough team for defenders. Mm. So there is some ceiling, but I think we've seen more from Heads in their time. So it is a definite tough one. It's one that I'm going to be looking not even at the fantasy points in the practice match, but actually just in the interplay and who is used more predominantly as that central point if they do actually try and take any marks in D50. I'm going to be fascinated to see. I think that there is value for one of these two players. I don't think there's going to be value for both.
Yep. Yeah, and then moving on to Piper Window, who is a very interesting player and someone that was very popular last season. What are you thinking about her this season?
I'm thinking that with forward status, I have to pay attention, right? So we always know that trying to find a forward is difficult. Forwards with midfield roles are usually the ones we want to look at, priced at 646K, so a hair under 50 average last year. Just someone who'd come in with an excellent underage scoring pedigree, did kind of build into the season, had some good scoring in the finals, and really pushed up her tackle numbers as well, and really seemed to thrive in those more chaos contested scenarios. It's not one that I feel particularly confident in saying, yep, absolutely, she's going to rise at average. I know exactly why. I don't know if I can predict exactly what the midfield balance is going to look like at Port Adelaide. But I do think that if we say we like, if Port Adelaide likes a lot of contested possessions, a lot of kicks, a lot of tackles, Piper Window fits that profile perfectly. The other question I have is I don't know how the interplay between her and Abby Dowrick will go, because I think that Abby Dowrick has a very similar statistical and kind of playing profile, if maybe a little bit more of a long kick, and that's kind of what Port have sought to leverage. I think that Piper Window could push over 60 this year if she's given a chance to grow as a second-year player. And in the forward line, you're getting up past 65. You're getting pretty close to the top five, you know, the most relevant player blanket. So I think that this is a player that I'll absolutely be watching.
Yeah, I was, when we first saw some of the listings come out, she was one that got an immediate highlight, being like, oh, we love that. She played mid forward last year and increasingly kind of midfield technically in the back half, but then kept her forward, or got a new forward status rather, coming into this season. So that's exciting because we expect her to probably be playing more midfield than she did back into last season. So yeah, I think like of all of the Port rookies that made an impact last season, she's probably the most attractive one to carry on into their second season as a decent pick, probably because of that listing change. Yeah, her max is like, so she's priced at about 50. We saw her home and away max at 70 last season, so that's pretty good, and then like got up to a 73 in the finals. So kind of showed a consistent ceiling there that's 20 points above. But I think she's one of the players that falls under this banner of like the fantasy potential growth comes from being a young player coming into their second season, as well as possibly like a little bit of a role change. But I think she'll have some increase throughout the season. We'll probably look back and be like, oh yeah, she went up 15 points. But it's hard to say exactly where that 15 is coming from.
Yeah, it can only really come from a bit of a reshuffle. I don't see her taking on one player's role specifically that was more high scoring. And I do think we have to apologize. No Sinead Goody in this episode. And she was the other rookie that we all owned from Port last year. And that's just by virtue of her midfield status, as much as I think that long-term, if you're making a keeper league, she'd be the one that I would probably want the most.
Yeah, actually, that's a good call out, because it is window being listed as a forward that puts her over the bar to make it into top five as opposed to Portia Goody, who was in everyone's side to start last season. But it's interesting you mentioned the Abby Dowrick situation as well. It, to me, this is kind of like a Heads Brooksby trade-off in that you probably want to pick one. It's less extreme than the Heads Brooksby, but Abby Dowrick coming in as the club's most expensive player, as we mentioned, like she has some of the same potential in that she was a little bit down last season, but like if you take out season seven's one ridiculous score of 136 or something, then she's kind of had a decent trajectory upwards, working on that consistency of her scoring. But I don't know if she's one whose fantasy points grow as Port Adelaide gets better, where I think there's maybe the potential more for that to happen with Window. So Abby Dowrick's a hard to make a case for, which is unusual for us to not pick the club's most highest fantasy scoring player.
Yeah, and I think you've put it well. It's just hard to see where that growth comes from. But in terms of growth, I think that the final player to mention is Ash Woodland Saint. You'll probably read this when it goes up on the AFLW website. I think that Saint is a Bonnie Toogood light, which is a bold claim, but I think the role that she's going to play as a forward, as a midfielder, as a ruck, as that higher player, she's someone who I don't think we really expected this. She was, you know, a former, you know, league-leading goal kicker as a pure goal square forward. But I think we saw something from her last year playing some of those ruck minutes, and I do think this is going to be some ruck contest for Saint. And then she got a massive boost in CBAs in the finals as well. And so her kind of price stat of 725, which is in 56 average, I think she's another player that could hit that mid to high 60s average, which puts her kind of, again, close to that top forward bracket. So I don't want to belabor the point too much because there is a lot of unknowns with Port Adelaide and I'm not confident in their scoring overall, but I think that Saint is a player absolutely on my watch list.
Yeah, when I saw you put Woodland here, I was like, I can see a few obvious points because Port will hopefully be scoring more this season and Woodland has a decent ceiling of 82 and she's been a fairly consistent scorer in the last season except for a few quiet weeks. But I wonder, like, if Lamb doesn't start this season, does that have any impact on where Woodland plays? Does she get pulled more into the forward line to cover for that?
Yeah, potentially, but I don't think Lammy's got a long-term injury. So I'm not exactly... you know, saying for her full season trajectory, it's a problem. And I do think that if it's not Indy Taho, that Saint will be taking some ruck contests around the ground, which just brings her closer to kind of tackles and some of those kicks inside 50, which is more points.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Well, that kind of leads into the Mel special, which, got to say, hard to pick because there's quite a few like obvious players that we've already spoken about in Port Adelaide. And then I was like, well, I'm not really sure where to go to from here because my clutch of Sinead Goody has disappeared this season. So I've gone with Indy Taho, who you just mentioned. Indy is returning from injury. So in season six, she was a defender with Brisbane, noted for her intercept possessions and contested marking. Season seven, she came over to Port Adelaide and played centre halfback, where she got her Rising Star nomination and led for intercept possessions at Port.
Intercept perceptions.
Yes, very perceptive back there. And in season eight, she was playing in the forward pocket for a bit as a bit of a medium forward before she got injured pretty quickly after that. So she then didn't play the rest of season eight and didn't play season nine. So she's coming in as a bit of a utility. She can play back, she can play forward. Maybe she can play ruck too. She's quite underpriced, therefore, though, because she didn't have a season nine score and she only had a couple games in season eight. So priced at 32.2 makes her a 417K priced forward, which is nice and cheap, where we like them, given that we aren't able to pick up Lauren Young. And that's pretty good because her season eight average was 40.3. So if she comes in playing as she did, who knows what role that will be, but we can see that she's got some like potential there in her position around the club. And she's kind of in both of the last seasons rotated through the CBAs as well, which is interesting to see that she can kind of be thrown anywhere.
So the thing that I do like about Indy Taho is that the game before her injury, she had 32% CBAs, 26% ruck contest, scored a 72 and kicked 2 goals. I think that that will be the game and the mode that Indy Tahoe will see as kind of her, you know, that's peak performance. And I think for a forward rookie priced, you know, at the average years, which is about 30, that's enough. Like, that's a player that is firmly on my watch list for this preseason. I'm not extremely confident in it, but it's one where I'm like, yeah, I totally know that I need to pay attention.
Yeah, and it shows that she can kind of be everywhere where she's needed. And we've already seen that Port Adelaide have put out their injury reporting ahead of the season starting, and there's quite a few. There's, you know, some that will only be here for round one or two. But given that she is a utility and she has those strengths all around the ground, I can't see her not being used. So the basis of this pick is that she's coming in discounted from a previous role, but that her versatility is going to be really helpful in a side with a lot of young players and a lot of players missing in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm fully on board with this being the male special. I think that it's a player that is one who will probably feature in quite a few preseason teams once we've actually seen some match simulation and preseason games.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see where she plays or which variety of roles she gets a role in. So we might wrap it up there. This has been Port Adelaide. Thank you for bearing with a sleepy Mel. Hopefully this was exciting enough. I mean, it's a very exciting club. You can read more about it actually on our Substack, where we've got a nice juicy article about breaking down more of these stats and the gameplay that we see over at Port and what we're expecting from them this season. Other than that, stay tuned for our next club preview series and we'll chat to you later. Bye.
See ya.